Are these the sounds of Christmas? Yes, as we know it now. Hardly a song of the human spirit, this is the sound of New York City on those frantic, never quite long enough days just before Christmas. How strangely we have grown. How strident in our determined gaiety. One might almost think that Christmas were a thing to be met and conquered, overcome, lest we be overcome by it. It was not always so. It was not always so even on these very streets.
God bless you, merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. To save us all from sorrow's fall, when we were gone astray.
Christmas Eve, New York, 1822. A storm earlier that day, but a full moon had risen and shone now on the crest of the new-fallen snow that lay still white across the city. Snow on Broadway and the little park in front of City Hall. A gentle, embracing snow that softened the Gothic harshness of Old Trinity Church and lay deep on West 22nd Street, muffling the clop-clop of the horses' hooves and the rumbled complaints of the carriage wheels. Dusk and a cold wind on 22nd Street that night. Shops opened later than usual. A group of young carolers singing hopefully and vainly trying to extract a little heat from their lanterns. And head bowed against the harsh caress of the wind, a certain professor of Greek and Hebrew made his way home. It was a large home, many chimneyed and pretentious, but the celebrations there that night would be modest. In 1822, Christmas was actually one of the lesser of the year's holidays. A few simple gifts for the children, some candy and fruit perhaps placed conspicuously in a bowl, and a dinner rather more substantial than on other days, but that was about all. Christmas, in short, had not yet been discovered by Mr. Dickens. Jacob Marley was not dead, and old Ebenezer Scrooge had yet to keep his disturbing rendezvous with the ghost of Christmas past. Fruit in a bowl, sugar plums, and a goose, deftly roasted, and that was about all. Oh, yes, one thing more. An old legend from the last century and maybe before. A folk thing of undetermined origin and, by 1822, almost forgotten. It was the story of the good Saint Nicholas who used to visit each house and leave a gift or two for such children whose deportment had been pleasing. The old professor adjusted his long scarf and smiled to himself. That old story. Saint Nick, he hadn't thought of it in all these years. Not since he had been a child and had believed. Old Saint Nick. Why, he could even remember how he was dressed. All in fur from his head to his foot, and he shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. It occurred to him that his own children had probably never heard that story. He scurried up the steps of his house, unwound the long scarf, called out that he was home, and walked swiftly into his study. His name was Clement Clark Moore. He was a doctor of philosophy, a student of Oriental literature, and the author of a compendious lexicon of the Hebrew language. But at that moment, he had matters less ponderous in mind. Paper he needed, an ink, a quill, and he started to write. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Clement Clark Moore, scholar, and son of the illustrious Bishop Benjamin Moore, one-time pastor of Trinity Church. Professor Moore was not given to writing doggerel. One fancies he wrote the words quickly, almost furtively. A scholar, in truth, should not concern himself with such frivolous things. His associates would not have approved. Still, it was a charming old story, and he continued to write, quickly, as though the words had been waiting all these years to come tumbling out. Soon would be there.
The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced through their heads. And Mama, in her...
He was almost through now, smiling to himself, a simple act of exuberance, uncharacteristic but oddly satisfactory. The quill scratched on. The lamplight shone on the backs of ponderous books, and behind him, the shadows watched and whispered and conferred with heads together. He was almost through.
The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eye should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer.
The good professor was right. His children were delighted with the poem. But childlike soon forgot the reading in the excitement of the gifts and exotic foods. And the little verse might well have been lost completely, but for the splendid insight of a young lady, a relative who was visiting the family for the holiday. Happily, her name survives, Sarah Harriet Butler. Miss Butler jotted the poem down in her diary before she left, and the next year, her father sent the poem to a newspaper in Troy, New York. It was printed gratefully. Hundreds of readers clipped it out and filed it away. Other newspapers picked it up, and before many years had passed, it had worked its way into the folk history of the land. At first, Moore denied that he had authored the lines at all. Doggerel, quite out of character, it would diminish his reputation as the author of the great lexicon. The lexicon survives, or at least I suppose it does. I've never looked it up. But Moore, in some surprise, I suspect, lived long enough to see his verses published everywhere and quoted. And children he would never know would, come Christmas Eve, listen spellbound to the story of the good Saint Nick. And so they do even now. And so will the children of our children and of their children. For it is their story, a true story, because they wish it to be true. A story from long ago when Christmas, modest and simple and personal, belonged to them.
Up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh. To his team gave a whistle. And away they all flew like the down of a thistle. And I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."